For over 100 years, Jones Topsoil has been part of your community, delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. Slinger Jones, bringing it home to you. Whether you're planting a vibrant flower bed, growing your own vegetables, or giving your lawn a fresh start, be the envy of the neighborhood with topsoil and mulch from Slinger Jones. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
Hello, welcome back, everybody, to another year of the Sandy Podcast.
I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Back in 2025 for our fifth season. You can expect more of this.
He's claiming that he was ill before the semifinal, whatever. But, you know, I just feel like at that point he was just looking for attention.
And some of this.
Well, you normally say no human is limited. So I can't limit myself, or I can't just say I can do.
As well as event coverage around all the major races on the UK circuit.
And if you're a fan of the pod, please give us a rating and review on your preferred podcast streaming service.
And if you want to stay up to date with all the latest news, give us a follow on Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
As always, thanks for listening. See you next time. And we hope you enjoyed the episode.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunday Podcast, brought to you guys by sportshoes.com. As always, last episode of season five, last episode of 2025.
Yeah, we are. I mean, 5 years we've been going, but it's quite the achievement. So yes, well done for sticking at it, mate.
Shoot, mate. Haven't killed each other yet.
Yeah, thanks for those who've been listening since day one, mate. 5 years. I mean, yeah, quite the achievement. Right, mate, when this team came out, I was stunned. I think it surprised quite a lot of people. And where do we start? Do we start with perhaps the most controversial picking of the team that we've seen? And that's probably the mixed relay, to be honest, without a doubt. You know, George, look, you can understand every, by the way, before we get into this, I think there is, we are not sort of slandering any athlete, throwing shade over athletes. Like, every athlete on this team is a very, very good athlete, and they all have you can see why they've been selected without a doubt. You know, they are credible runners, but there's just, I guess you could argue a stronger case for other people who haven't been selected. And you would love to know why these athletes have been selected over others. I mean, for example, look, Adam Fogg, fantastic runner, good 1500 meter man, but like actually this year didn't have the best year over 1500 at all. Since then, what's he done? And he's somehow on this mixed relay team. Strange.
Yeah, I think that's an important point you make around. That's always our view when we're talking about any selections. We're never.
Oh, yeah.
Dissing the athletes who are selected. It's more feeling for the athletes who aren't, and I guess wanting a bit more clarity from selection panels on how these decisions get made. Because like, if they come out and they're like, actually we asked 10 people ahead of them and then this is who we've come out with, fine, but I don't believe that's the case.
No, I don't. And you know, Fogg this year ran 3:35 and then 3:34 even, didn't he? Had a bit of a flow towards the back end, but, you know, at British Champs was nowhere. Ran a half marathon in 63:50 towards, you know, just a few, the same weekend as Liverpool, actually. And this is what I'm just like, what? You show no signs of running a trial. You'd show no signs of sort of wanting to be selected. You do a half marathon the same weekend, 63:50, does a 5K a little bit before that in sort of 13:53. And this is like, men are running that at Battersea Park, left, right and center, you know, and like that is not on the roads. That is not a like, yeah, I should be selected for this mixed relay team. I think we have, you know, people who have really set their stone out this year. I mean, you know, you look at Higgins, what he's done, he's won the trial, he's gone and got a medal at the Europeans, you know, and okay, he might not have the 5K credentials, but he's certainly got similar 1500 credentials to Fogg, especially if you looked at this year, you know, and he might not have the time on paper, but his 800 time is already suggesting, and like, give the guy the opportunity.
Yeah.
So really, really strange for me that Fogg's included. You know, I think, you know, people may argue that, you know, that a lot of those three out of that team are based in America and maybe they want to save costs on flights. But I mean, European athletics, I don't know if I presume it's the same for world athletics, but European athletics pay for people to, you know, they pay the food and board for the 3-4 days of the, like for the Eurocross, for example. European athletics pay for 4 athletes per team, for food and board. You know, the only thing that the nation have to pick up is the bill for the flights. So, and I presume World Athletics is the same when you go to a championships. you know, three or four. And I think that's why, by the way, we only have four in the senior men, senior women's, and the juniors, is because I think at the end of the day, that's what they get paid for. That's what's covered. Obviously not the flights, but the accommodation, everything is covered, I think, for those four. So I wouldn't mind betting that's another reason why we only have four seniors, you know, four athletes per team. But anyway, you know, and that's, I guess, you know, a few people saying, you know, oh, yeah, maybe they're saving money on the flights. That's why they've gone with someone like Fogg over, you know, they could have just picked Higgins and Elson. India, where is that? That is such a strange one for me. Like, you know, they had the trial, got pretty well beat. Holly Dixon clearly in form, showing she can really operate over these short course relay style events. What more do you want? Like, I'm really surprised they didn't pick Holly Dixon. And then Alex Millard, like, huh? Fuck, that whole thing is baffling. This is one of the strangest teams I've ever seen picked. But not because of the athletes aren't good runners, they're fantastic runners, but just like, they just haven't shown signs of, obviously they've filled in a form to express their interest, but other than that, for me, they haven't done anything to say they want to be involved. And I think it's very hard to pick someone.
When the selection criteria came out, because it was so vague for the World Cross that we kind of knew it was going to be a case of you pick whoever you want, because the way it's worded is like potentially this or potentially that or potentially this or potentially that. And there was nothing set in stone. And I just think for a world championship event, you can't do that. You can't do that. You need to explain to athletes what they need to do, where they need to do it. And then you need to pick a team off that. One of the best things about running is how there's like a lack of selection kind of like arguments or clouds surrounding selection compared to like team sports, for example.
Yeah.
But then... time and time again, we managed to bring it in anyway. Yeah. It should be one of the easiest sports to select, but somehow we can't do that.
I know.
Maybe these four have got some good changeovers. Maybe they've been down training together, practicing their changeovers, and maybe that's why they picked them.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's very strange. The selection policy was so vague, but it also had the loads of factors. They were like, you know, we'll consider this, we'll consider this, we'll consider this. And like, these athletes they've picked weren't even on that list. Like, of all those, you know, 10
I guess
bullet points.
What they have got is they said about times, didn't they? They put some times
they
in.
They said about times, but I think it's.
Yeah.
You know, they do say current form from sort of September, I think it's September maybe, to now. Mate, Millard hasn't raced.
Yeah.
So, unless
the only one you make the case for, right? Based off is 3K.
I said, well, Athletics profile's not flagging, not in up races. She hasn't raced since September. I mean, anyway, and then of course, yeah, like I said, India Weir, I think again that's that was a strange one for me that she got selected, but obviously a good summer. But you know, are you picking athletes on their summer, or are you picking them, you know, on what they can do at the World Cross Country Championships in that short course, in that relay setting? Yeah, so that team. But Kuti, you're like, yeah, fair play. I mean, you know, because I think he's actually shown results. You know, India Weir's been beat on multiple occasions. Yeah. Fogg done nothing to sort of get excited about. And, you know, he probably will indoors. He's a fantastic runner for sure. I mean, he'll do a job. You know, I guess with Fogg, he has been on the team previously. He's had, what, bronze medal at the World Cross when it was in Australia.
Same with Millard, but again.
So are you picking people on two years ago, or are you picking people right now?
Otherwise, why do we have Liverpool every year? We just pick the same six anyway.
Exactly. So, but Kuti, obviously, I mean, 10th at the NCAA Cross, and you know, he's a man that, to be honest, they've put Malarkey in a senior men's team. You could say Kuti, you know, no one would have any problems if Kuti was in a senior men's team, but I think he's obviously gone with that mixed relay because he thinks that's going to be better for his indoor preparation and probably where he is at the moment. So, but, you know, he has done a full NCAA campaign, finished 10th for the NCAA. Like, he is, yeah. Oh, and he's run
7:36. Yeah,
7:36 indoors. So, yeah, he's kind of, you can see why they've picked him. Anyway, that's the mix.
Just feeling sorry for the guys and girls that obviously got a medal at Euros as well. I think that's different. If they weren't bombed, they come like
if they come fifth or sixth, you're like, yeah, they've blown it. Yeah,
they had a decent showing. They had a medal. They all did it the right way. Like, you've got Elson come in, what was he, 15th in the long course at Liverpool. Mm.
Yeah, they all did the trial as well. They all did the short course trial. Like, 1-2. Yeah.
Bonkers.
Yep. So it's a shame. Anyway, senior men, senior women's teams, Rory Leonard, Jacob Cann, understand that. I guess, you know, I think a few people would be like, why isn't Scott Beattie picked? And obviously he doesn't want to be picked. You know, he's rumors are he's going to go hit Valencia on the same day. And I personally think that's sad. I think that's sad. Like if you're Scott Beattie, or Cross, is there another opportunity to do a World Cross? I mean, of course there is. There'll be one in 2 years, but he's clearly in very good shape. The guy's almost got a medal. You know, he basically gets a medal at European Cross. You know, would you, like Valencia, mate, they're every year. And, you know, there's loads of road 10Ks you can do. But, you know, maybe he wants to box off that standard. It's 27.50 for the Euros and stuff like that. So I do think there'll be a part of him like, look, can I just get that 10K ticked off on the road? It is a good opportunity to do that. And then I can focus in on the summer. But
I just think, to be honest, mate, it's all driven by sponsors.
It's all driven by, I mean, payday, yeah, payday.
Obviously,
a lot more,
I do not
yeah,
know
sure.
the ins and outs of Scott Beattie's contract, right? But if it's like anyone else's on the circuit, all their contracts these days are built around road races and they're built around road race times and the bonuses that they have that roll over on a retainer into next year. He can get himself thousands by popping a good one that's then on his contract every single year by going and running a good 10K in Valencia. And like you say, he's in good shape. So he's like, why wouldn't I do that? Because that sets me up for the next 2-3 years in terms of trying to attack teams, which is sad. Like you say, it is sad, but that's the reality for a lot of these guys. Is like, actually, that 10K time on the road is pretty achievable. That half marathon time written into my contract is pretty achievable. Whereas there's not going to be like a, you come top 20, top 30 of the World Cross. There's not going to be a fat bonus written into that. I doubt, anyway.
Yeah. We don't know his contract, but I agree with you. I doubt there's anything that mentions World Cross Country. But I think as an athlete, there's things on your bucket list if you're an athlete. And running the World Cross Country, if you're an endurance runner, should be on everyone's bucket list. Like that's like the ultimate race to be a part of. And I think, you know, you look at America's team, you know, it's ridiculous. It's like all their best guys. You look at France's team, Gressier, Scrub, all their best men, you know, Spain, Ethiopia, Kenya, like all, I mean, Kiplimo's doing it, Uganda, like, you know, you have all the best runners in the world and who, you know, who will be there. I guess, you know, you won't have a Jakob, you probably won't have an Almgren and people like that, but you know, who obviously feature at the world champs every year. But I think, yeah, it's a shame, but you can understand the reasoning for sure. And I guess, yeah, there are athletes who will just want to box that standard off and, you know, the Euros will come around quick. If you can avoid doing a 10K before Europeans, I guess, or before the commies, then might be, you know, it's probably a good thing because I think a lot of people obviously have to attack Highgate when that comes back. So, but, you know, I still think 10K on the road and track, two different races. And so you'd much rather get the standard on the track and know you could do it. Anyway, so we've spoken about who's not in there. It would have been good to see him in there, but Leonard and Can, yep. I mean, those two have had a great autumn. And I'm not sure that course suited Rory too much, all those turns at Euros. I think that was a testing course for him. Matt Ramson's in there. Now, that was a surprise for me. Like, obviously ran very well in the under 23s, but again, you know, you're picking someone off of 5.5K. You know, World Cross Country is double that. And, you know, has he shown the sort of strength over the longer stuff to, you know, to prove, you know, that he's going to be sort of, you know, being able to get right up there, you know, for the World Cross. So again, so it's like that's, and I have no problems with that pick because it's a huge opportunity for him. But then, you know, in the selection policy, they're like, you know, we only want people to go there and perform X, blah, blah, blah. So I did think that was a strange one for me, you know, sixth at the under 23s. Over 5.5K.
Yeah, it's how they justify, though, isn't it? In terms of like, you look at some of these picks and they're trying to expose juniors to senior level competition. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough for the athletes who, obviously you're in a fairly difficult position in that sense. It's tough for the athletes who perform in the senior race, who, you know, over 10K cross at the World Cross would probably finish higher. And it's how as a governing body, they sit there and say, yeah, but this athlete, because they're an under 23, has a higher ceiling, X, Y, Z. And that's essentially how they've made that call.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a tricky team for them to pick. I think time of year and stuff, you know, doesn't help. But they could have just made it easy and just said, look, if you want to do the World Cross, just run Liverpool. Or you know.
Well, they also could. Well, we could go back to having the trial as the same length in the first place. And then you'd actually know anyway how good the under 23s were. And then you could pick him for the senior team if you wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, match up those two races, yeah. And,
yeah.
You know, if he, like in previous years when people like Stonier and, stuff like that, finished in the top two. You know, I mean, he got second one year, didn't he? It's like, well, yeah, of course you'd pick that guy if you've seen his or Barnacle or something like that. Anyway, yeah. and then Dave Mullarkey, who again, I thought, you know, he has done a few good races, Mullarkey. Like, he's raced well over 10K. And yeah, he is, you know, his NCAs last year, like, he is a don over the country. Well, at least his kind of NCA career showed that. And, you know, he's obviously a very good runner. He's based out in America. You know, he had a good summer as well. But, you know, for me, he actually just snuck inside. Now they've released that Europeans, by the way. I think he ran 27:49 in November for 10K. So he's actually snuck inside that qualifying. And I think with Mullarkey, you look at his results on road and you're like, yeah, okay, he's beaten some. And he wasn't far behind Edwin Kergat, for God's sake. He's run like 26:50 over a sort of 5-mile race in America, one of those turkey trot things. You know, so he is in great.
Do you know what's interesting though, mate? What I find tough with stuff like this, and someone like a Charlie Wheeler, right, who's run super quick 10K on the road,
he would never be considered. Not in their wildest dreams would he ever be considered.
That's what I mean.
Cross.
Because
yeah, and Mullarkey's that guy.
Because he rocks up to Liverpool. So actually, you're someone like him.
Yeah, he's worse
would be better off.
Yeah.
Going to the US, not turning up to Liverpool, not showing that he can get beat at cross country, just picking and choosing a 10K road race, running a good time, and then he gets himself in the team.
He thought about it. I remember having a conversation with him pre Liverpool, and he was on about potentially just doing, was there like a little 10K, which was exceptionally
fast. Yeah, he was going to do that the week before Liverpool. He was going to come back as well and do both, but he was going to do that so he, like, I guess in case you
just
mess
get
up
a fast 10K out, maybe attack that British record while it still is achievable until Emil goes and smashes it, maybe in Valencia, or maybe Scott Beattie gets it. You know, I think it will be rewritten in Valencia.
That's the issue. It's just like, it's basically saying, well, yeah, you can just run quick somewhere in some random race, and that's what we see as important anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, where Mullarkey ran this race, Flanagan's Rockin' Rib Run 10K, Florida, 27:49. But yeah, great run. And he is a great athlete. Like, he got second at World Juniors. Like, he's had a good NCAA career. Like,
but we just see why they picked him. And
yeah,
he's come 30 years at Liverpool. Because that's what happened.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys in that race. And there's a lot of guys who are Mullarkey's level who you're like, they could have picked them. But look, I guess he knows the course. He went to FSU. You know, he knows the course very well. He's based in America. He'll save them some flights. There you go. Your senior men's team. But stoked for those guys, because I think they are going to be a part of one of the best World Cup countries.
And again, just to reiterate,
ever.
This is nothing against those guys.
No. It's going to be a very good World Cross. The fact it's in January, I think, is fantastic. The course is amazing. It's America, so it's going to be all razzmatazz.
Unreal. Mate, the biggest thing for me in the women's, Verity Okenden. Unreal.
Yeah, huge.
For her.
Yeah.
She's essentially not been meant to be in the, well, no, sorry. I should say she was meant to be in the Euros team originally, got knocked out of the spots because Megan Keith
comes in,
ends up getting to go anyway because Donnelly pulls out, and now she's on her way to the World Cross. So I just, again, this is mental, because she could go and have like an unreal run at World Cross, and then you look back and you think, yeah, if it weren't for Donnelly getting injured, this athlete doesn't get that opportunity because we're not taking the top six on the day.
Yeah. No, it's a huge turn of events for her. Huge turn of events, and she's done so. And I think that's it. You know, you take your opportunity and you turn up, and course suited a 5K track runner that little bit more at Euros, and you know, she stepped up, and yeah. That is and this women's team, you have no complaints because you're like, well, that was the top four of the Europeans.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like Megan Keith, Phoebe Anderson, then Okenden and Tank were, you know, 20th and, you know, placed between them. So you just have no questions, you know, no complaints about that. You know, and they've just nailed it, your senior women's team. Megan Keith, the only thing I'm surprised about is senior women, and I would love to know, and this, you know, I'm not sure we'll ever find out. Is Innes? Did Innes want to run this? Because if Innes wanted to run...
Yeah. I think if she wanted to, she'd be going.
Yeah, she'd be on the team. You think that? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Fair enough.
I think if she'd said, look, what are the chances of me doing that?
They'd have put her in. Yeah.
I was talking to someone last night about Megan Keith, and yeah, she was really happy with her Euros. Just in the way that it was so firm and twisty. She wasn't enjoying the turns, but you know, on the uphill sections, she was really, really strong. And she's very, I guess, just like really confident in where she's at right now. And she's very much looking forward to the World Cross Country. So yeah, I thought that was interesting. And she wasn't a million miles. We already reviewed the Eurocross, but she wasn't that far behind Bacicletti. And you're looking, you know, if she goes and does the World Cross. You know, it's going to, but the World Cross will be sickening. You've got Ngetic, you've got Chebet. I mean, yeah, it's going to be so good, but.
Yeah. Well, Bacicletti has shown she is world class.
She's world class. Yeah, she should be with those women for sure.
Yeah.
So there is your controversial World Cross. Yeah, your controversial World Cross country team. But yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be a fantastic. It's obviously 10th of January, Saturday afternoon for us. And then we got Valencia the day after. So that weekend is going to be huge. And that's probably the next time you'll hear from us is probably that weekend, because we're going to have we always have a bit of a break for 3 or 4 weeks, and we'll have that over the Christmas period. But mate, let's just quickly, I was at Friday Night Under Lights last night. Jake Whiteman turns up, crushes out 5 miles, comes to 23:23 or something like that for him. So pretty credible run, actually. You know, as he prepares for a short indoor season, he said he's not going to do the world indoors. Selection policy's out for that now. Very achievable, some of the times, sort of 3:36. I say achievable, you know, but it's still hard. But 3:36, they've slowed things down. The 3K is still ridiculous. I think it's like 7:33 for the men.
But the world standard for 3K is ridiculous. That's the thing.
True. So, but anyway, the winners, Jack Cavanaugh and James Kingston, had a bloody good ding dong. You know, they were going back and forth. Fair play to Kingston. Gap Cavanaugh at one point tried to push on. He said he felt. And Kingston felt really good as well. They were quite slow the first mile, sort of 4:40-ish, 4:45, 4:40 first mile. And then they got moving. They started dropping some 4:30s. And then Cavanaugh managed to just lift it again, sort of pulled away. Once he got back onto Kingston, pulls away the last K or so. It was a bloody good race. And, you know, those two showing that, yeah, they're in serious shape. And both sort of saying that they're going to commit to the cross-country post-Christmas as well. Cavanaugh obviously raced, what do you run, 8:00 indoors, did get beat by one of the Higgins and last weekend at the Southern Champs, which was a very, very high standard for the Southern Champs. Good to see. But yeah, saying that he wants to, you know, didn't really enjoy indoors too much. And so he's going to get back to some cross post-Christmas. And Evie Locke won the women's race 26:10. Not far off Lucy Reed's course record of 26:03. So that was the Friday Night Under Lights for you. Com Games, TNT, get those broadcasting rights, outbid the BBC. What's your thoughts, mate?
As much as
is that bad news or good news? I mean,
as much as I slate TNT when it comes to football, I think it's probably, it can't be worse than BBC when it comes to athletics. So I think we're moving in the right direction. But
I also think that actually, you know, it's good that someone's
interested in the first place.
Yeah, there's competition. I think, yeah, that's what I like. There's competition. And look, TNT are going to inject a little bit of cash into an event which is stripped for cash, and an event which was doubtful it was going to go ahead. So that's probably a win, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think I was reading an article that, I don't remember this, because I think I consume most of the Olympics on BBC. But TNT, I think they'll set up a thing where it's like $3.99 to watch the Commonwealth Games. Apparently, they did that in Paris as well. It's like £4 to watch Commonwealth Games. I don't know if that's extra on top of your membership, like your subscription already, or whether that's just like, you know, a little bit like sort of pay per view, pay £4 or so, and you can watch.
Yeah, I think that's for people who aren't. I think if you already got a subscription,
that you don't pay, obviously. Yeah.
Yes, because I remember we controversially said. Who doesn't have TNT? Because if you're not watching the Champions League, are you even a sports fan? I believe that was said.
Mate, I don't have TNT anymore, mate. It is actually scandalous.
Oh, they all add up, mate. They all add up.
So, yeah.
To be fair, it's because Man United aren't in the Champions League anymore, so you don't need it, do you? There you go. But look, yeah, mate, that pretty much wraps up results, and then like a bit of news, I guess. One thing we wanted to chat about, obviously, as we mentioned at the start, end of the season, just looking back a bit at what you guys have been listening to, and so who takes the crowns for your most listened to episodes of season 5.
what I would say is there are some recent episodes on there, or fairly recent episodes, that have cracked into the top 10, which I'd expect to move up as well as a few months go on. But look, Jay Baraclough has taken a top spot, mate.
He's number one
on there. So he's taking his top spot. Roy Leonard and Hobdell, so recorded back in January. I think that was, episode two of the season, is second. Emmett Dunleavy is third. Jake Smith, fourth. George Mills, fifth. Coskren, sixth. Ed Eyestone, seventh. Me and you, mate, we've made eighth place. British Champs Review. We can't talk too much yet. We must know what we're talking about a little bit. More people just want to listen to us groveling. Yeah. Our bad predictions from the preview. And then ninth place, Whiteman and Hartigan. So yeah, pretty recent one, 30th of November that was. And then McPhillips as well the week before that. So yeah, I'd expect those two to climb up a bit. But yeah, there's your top 10 for what you guys have been listening to. Let us know as well what your favorite episodes were as well, because I think, season six, we're going to try and tap a bit more into that. Like, look at the episodes you guys listen to the most and do as much as we can to bring you more of those.
Yeah, I think respond to the data a little bit. It's what we plan to do in season six, plan to change the format a little bit. And we're very much looking forward to it. Have some good guests lined up as well. So let's see there. But yeah, I think my personal favorites are always, I'm a bit biased, but always when we get stuck in with a coach, mate, and we can really sort of learn from them and their philosophy. That Emmett podcast was very, very good. Jake and John, Ed Eyestone, Alistair Cragg was a cracking guest for me.
For me, McPhillips is the one.
McPhillips is great. That was almost like talking to a coach, right?
That's what I mean. It was spoke. I think that's probably one of the most open conversations we've had with an athlete where they really joke about it, don't we, that the athletes sometimes don't understand or aren't willing to share why they've made improvement. And it's kind of, I think sometimes it's not really knowing themselves, sometimes it's not wanting to share too much. But yeah, Kim McPhillips was like, I've improved because I've done this, and this is exactly how I've done it, and this is how I intend to keep doing it or change it going forwards to make sure I'm even better. And that was, it was just refreshing, I thought.
Yeah, we've had some crackers, mate. And like I said, 5 years. Thank you all for listening and staying with us. I'm sure some of you since have been there since day one, and some will dip in and out. But yeah, we've very much enjoyed it, and we look forward to continuing on into 2026 with what promises to be a pretty spectacular year, because I just think the way you look at the way we've got there's a lot of competition now in the marathon. I think that's getting very exciting. We're going to have 6-8 men, some making debuts, some coming back, some running. I think we're going to see some records in 2026 on the roads. And, same on the women's side as well. There's going to be, with the Europeans and commies, I just think that really drives competition a little bit further down as well. You think three of our best 1500 runners are all Scottish, Kerr, Whiteman and Gawley, sitting in that. Who's going to step up from the English team? You've got the Welsh team. And so, I think it promises to be. And then obviously you've got Europeans as well. It promises to be a pretty fascinating year. See how it plays out.
Yeah, it certainly does. And just before we finish then, like Matt says, thanks for listening to us today, but thanks for listening for the last 5 years. Thanks to Sports Users, as always. This is our fourth year being supported by those guys, and looking forward to taking that to the next level next season. I'll say that. If you celebrate Christmas, have a great one. For everyone though, enjoy a bit of time off. We'll catch you guys in 2026.